Okay, continuing the Bovavi page, Resh Mem Dalid at the bottom, the next subcategory. And so we ended off with a mashal regarding our inability to understand even the good that Hashem gives us in life, and certainly we're not going to understand the bad that Hashem does in life. And let's see, what was the last mashal? Where the child is taking away the detergent from him, and he can't, no matter how long the father will explain it to him, he'll never get it. And that's the same thing regarding whatever Hashem has to do to us. We'll never be able to understand it, and we can't understand. It's beyond our ability to understand. And he continues and goes deeper in that concept, where the pasuk says, Tamu ru'u ki tov Hashem, taste and see that Hashem is good. Inyan shel hakaras ha-nefesh, the concept of recognition of the soul. Niten od ledugma ledaber, let's give another example. Ledover, v'ulaya odeza yekavlo advorim tuna b'ruyosa, maybe things will be even clearer with another example. Gemara mavur, she'avda b'efkera nichalei. An eved, knani, a Canaanite servant, b'hefkera, with hefkerness, with lack of controls, just things being without any discipline, any control. He'd prefer to live a life of no discipline. Hefker, like it's ownerless. He'd prefer to live an ownerless life than to take one of responsibility. That's what Gemara says. Humadif lios eved shemuter b'shivcha. He'd rather be a servant who's allowed to be with the shivcha knanis, the Canaanite maidservant. You know, as an eved knani, he's got all his needs taken care of. He works for his master. His room and board is taken care of. He has his woman to live with. And he's got nothing to worry about. The master has to worry about the financial position of the farm and all these things. And basically, he can, you know, at the end of the day, he can have whatever he wants, you know, insofar as what his master gives him. He'd prefer that. Me'asher sharabo yishachar oso, as opposed to the master freeing him, v'yechashev ki Yehudi, and he'd be considered a Jew. When you free a Canaanite slave, it's only on the condition of him becoming a Jew and shomer Torah mitzvahs. M'meila yasa v'shivcha, and then consequently he wouldn't be allowed to marry his shivcha. And, you know, put in contemporary terms, and he loses his girlfriend. Okay? Now, here's the issue. Think of it from the Eved's perspective. Okay? If you ask the Eved, generally speaking, the Gemara is giving us a rule. Gemara says, Avdo behefkera nichale. The servant prefers a life with no responsibility. So what are the two options on the table? Being an Eved, okay, so you're a goy, you have sheva, you know, you have a little more than sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. You have also obligated to not, you know, the mitzvahs that a woman has to do. Okay, but you're not a Jew. And you're missing out on a golden opportunity of greater sense of eternity in life. And if he's given the option, 99.9% of avodim would prefer to be an eved, would prefer to have his girlfriend. He doesn't have to worry about anything. It's like you're working for the government, you know. Your master takes care of all your needs. You get room and board. You have a girlfriend. So what else is there to need in life? Be a Jew? Oh, man, to convert. You know what that's going to, you know what that responsibilities are involved now? I'd rather not have it. Now, let's try to understand. What's the more correct decision that one should make? Hare bor l'kolanu, it's clear to all of us. Shimhu yiyasher eved, if he remains a servant, v'kachu yetz min olam, that's how he will leave this world after his lifetime. Kishiyavol olam haba, he comes to the next world. Chelko beruchaniyos ubekirvas Hashem yirbar harbe yoser namuch, his portion in spirituality and closeness to Hashem is going to be a lot lower. Masher ilo hayim mekabel alatz v'lishtachar v'lios yuri, lower than had he accepted by himself to become free and to become a Jew. Im kein, if so, ma be'emes odif l'levet. So what does the servant really want? In other words, what's really in the best interest of this Eved? What's in his best interest? Vade lishtacher v'lias Yehudi. Certainly to become free and to become a Jew. That is certainly the eternally best situation he should be in. Umahu ba'atzmo choshev shetochlo. But what does he think is better for him? Lios Evit, to be a slave. V'gamin teshe v'tazbir lo kama tov lios Yehudi. If you're going to sit down and explain to him what are the advantages of him being a Jew. V'tamuru ki tov Hashem. And we, you know, use that pasuk. Taste and you'll see that Hashem is good. We're talking about your eternity now. We're talking about being closer to Hashem. We're talking about having a greater eternal pleasure in his lifetime. You could argue all day long. Lo yazir muma won't help a bit. Why? And here's the critical point. This isn't something we can intellectually explain. It's something that has to do with recognition of the soul. Not everything adds up on paper. There are certain things that one just, either you have that feeling, or you have that bitachon, or you don't have that feeling. So, and that's something you can't explain to people. That's the critical point. Just like you can't explain to the little baby that the poison is bad to him. You can't, an Eved just can't get it. What would be so great about being a Jew? What's so great about being close to Hashem? These are concepts that don't translate today, going to the stores and buying things. That doesn't buy me any more gifts. All I need is to get presents for the upcoming holiday. I have to fill my list. And being an Orthodox Jew doesn't fill up my list. He doesn't realize if he's an Orthodox Jew, he wouldn't have a list. He wouldn't have to go into the stores today. And that would be the most liberating feeling. I'm not jealous of anybody who has to go to a store today, man. That last minute stocking stuffers. You know, it's ridiculous. You know. I think, you know, 99.9% of the billions of dollars that are going to be spent, have been spent, and will be spent, are all things that are basically not necessities. Just listen to the advertisements. Very few, like a shovel. I don't think anybody gives such a present to be a shovel. You know, can get you a shovel, get you a power drill. There's a few. I'm not saying there isn't any. But basically, it's, you know, it's the Wi-Fi, this, the Chveis, Vos, Dos. Like, you know, you can pack. It's not good enough. You can have 1,000 songs in a little thing. It has to be a smaller thing with 20,000 songs. It's like things you don't even need. It's incredible. So, you know, I was thinking about this. I was driving in the car with Martin yesterday. We went into Grzynski's. He had to go there, so I needed a ride with him. So we're in Grzynski's. And I stopped and looked, and it's like, I said to him, how much of the stuff that, I have nothing against Krasinski's, I'm not, glad they made very good donuts, but I said, how much of what's in this store do we as human beings really need? And there's a lot of stuff in that store. So I said, the only thing like we really need is bread. You know, a jelly donut, you don't need to, believe me, it does more harm than good. Most of the food in that store does more harm than good. And people have to pay dearly for it if they eat unrestricted from such a store. Right? What would happen if this store didn't exist? How would our lives be any worse? As opposed to if it only sold... So, there was a South African who told me last week, one of the biggest frustrating things they had when they came to Canada is that in South Africa... There's only two, the government makes the bread. There's only two breads, white bread and dark bread. That's the two choices in the store, finished. The government makes the bread every day, either you're buying a loaf of white bread or a loaf of black bread. Vzehu. You know what? In terms of that, nobody's starving in South Africa. I mean, in terms of going into the store and not having what Krasinski's has to offer you. So really, it's not much there that you really need. So when they came to here, and there's like 50 different varieties of bread, you know, it's not stama white bread. You can get a half whole wheat, half spelt, with seeds, without seeds, different kinds of seeds, how much kimmel, how much not kimmel, and that's only one aspect of it, and what shape it is, and this and that. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know. And so if you start thinking about most of the things you buy in this world, most of the things are things you don't really need. If you really stop and think, what do you need? You need a house, okay. Right? You need certain types of furniture, okay? But once the house is set up, okay, so what do you need besides, you know, basic food, basic, but people just keep buying things. Keep buying things and buying things and buying things, and most of the things you're buying are things you don't really need in life. And we're spending our whole lives, you know, trying to make enough money to buy the things that we don't need in life. To a great, I'm not meaning entirely, I'm certain there's a lot of things you need and you have to have, and you have to go shopping, there's no question about it. But, you know, we have to have so many different kinds of drinks, like all the types of drinks that exist. I want to know something. If we have water, doctors, anybody going to get sick from only drinking water? You have a million types of... Who drinks water during the week? Some people. You got this kind of drink and that kind of drink. You know, 10 types of fruit juices. This is a whole section in the store just on drinks. And you have to have all these kind of drinks, and it costs a lot more. And the whole bottled water is the biggest mishigas in the world, in Toronto at least. The water from the tap is very healthy; it even has fluoride. But the bottled water is the biggest mishigas. You're paying money for water. Paying money for it, so I can't convince in my family to get rid of it. I just can't. I can't be poiled with. You know, it's incredible that you have to schlep, lug these things. Take the water from the tap. We're not talking, you're not up in cottage country where there might be some problems with the E. coli. So all this, so we're spending our whole lives, you know, and explain to somebody they don't need this. They won't be able to begin to understand what I'm talking about. What are you talking about? How can you live without this? But if you're a Jew and you really understand what life's all about, you understand what Tachlas HaChaim is, and how much time you're spending working to make all the things that you don't need. You have to work, but for what we need and what we want, there's such a difference. So that's, you can't explain it to people. You know, you can't start telling people, go look at their grocery bags. Say, why are you buying this? Why are you buying that? Why are you buying this? Why are you buying this? What do you mean? I'm a Baal Taiva. That's what it is. What do you mean? How can we live without it? So they can't begin to understand what we're talking about over here. It's a hakoras hanefesh. It's something that the soul understands and recognizes, feels. It's not something you intellectually explain to people. You know, they tell a story of Ryron Cutler many, many years ago in Lakewood. So there's a guy who's in Koil for many years. Again, it's not for everybody. You know, the story's for who the story was. This guy's sitting and learning, and he's eminently capable of sitting and learning longer. Okay, so he tells Rabbi, he's leaving Koilo because his uncle is going to set him up at a nursing home. Get him a nursing home, he's going to run it, and he'll have no parental problems the rest of his life. You know, one of those, if you remember in the 70s, that was 50s, 60s, right? Nursing homes in the States, that maybe it's still a big thing, but it was, those who got in those years, you did really well, really well. So he says his uncle's going to give him a nursing home, and he'll be set up for life. So Rav Aaron, you know, looks at him, and he says, giving up a life of living in Koil, this and that. So he says, Rebbe, didn't you teach us that if a person supports Torah, he gets the same Olam Haba as the guys who are learning Torah? Right? Yisachar Zvulun, one supports, I'm going to work, I'll make money, I'll support the yeshiva. Didn't you teach us that the one who supports learning Torah gets the same Olam Haba as the one who's learning Torah? So Rav Aaron says, yeah, that's true, but what about your Olam Haza? You're not gonna have as good as Olam Haza as the guy who's in Koilo. Right? So that you have to think about that vort. The guy who's making the money, he thinks he has Olam Haza. And the guy sitting in the Koilo has no Olam Haza. The answer is the exact opposite. The guy who's sitting and learning, he has the Olam Haza. This is what this world was meant for. This world was meant for learning. Getting close to Hashem in this world. Being busy with work and all that it entails and all the dangers that look. Not to say that you can't, but you know, you're going to get a lot closer to Hashem if you're sitting and learning all day long. I'm not saying person who's working an honest living and supporting people isn't going to be a good person. But we're talking about levels. And it's obviously a higher level. A person can sit and learn. It's a higher level. So, it's part of the curse. You have to work. So it's, we don't get it. We've heard Nebuch Rachmanis, the guy sitting and learning. He can't buy 84 varieties of bread. Nebuch. And he has to drink water from the sink. Oh, he's in poverty. Oh, what a Rachmanis. Meanwhile, that guy's racking up points in this world and in the next world. He's way beyond anybody else. And nobody would want to trade places with him. So it's not something you can explain with logic. It's something that's the soul feels and understands, which can't be explained. Okay, let's continue back inside. So nitan lenasos lahasvil the adam harbeis man sheyir tzulios krovim labare. Could try to explain to people for a long time that they should want to be close to Hashem. But to give them the taste, that taste of close, of true closeness to Hashem, is a double ability of Hashem. You can't explain it. You can't explain it to somebody. They don't get it. Explain to a secular Jew how beautiful Shabbos is. He doesn't get it. He can't get such a thing. You can't understand certain things. You have to have experienced it, and when you experience it, you know what it's all about. Zela davar nikra sod. This is what we call in Jewish understanding sod, secret, mystery. Kamosha kosev b'svarim hakadoshim, which is written in the holy books. Sod hu davar she'efshel lahasbir oso be'etzem. Sod is something you cannot explain in a logical way. Tam shel davar, the reason for something. Lo tam sichli, it's not an intellectual understanding. Ela tam shel chush, but a taste that you feel. Tam shel kiras Hashem, a taste of closest Hashem. Says sod shlo nitan lasbara. That's a mystery that cannot be explained. You can't explain to somebody who is not in love what it feels like to be in love. You can't explain it. But one thing's for sure, the one who's in love knows he's more fortunate than one who's not in love. There's no question in his mind. He has 100% proof, because it's what he feels. What he knew he felt like before he was in love, and what he feels like now that he is in love. Explain to a single bachelor who doesn't think that getting married is worthwhile, go explain to him the benefits of marriage. He can only understand the seichel. Okay, what are you telling me? What are the benefits of marriage? Somebody can cook for you, so I have enough money to go to restaurants every day. I get the best cooks, right? Someone to keep the house clean for you. I have a nanny who comes in 3 times a week, right? Somebody to have intimacy for. I have a lot of girlfriends. I have a whole black book filled with names. I got no problems. Matter of fact, I keep myself very busy. So what do I need to get married for? So you get married for love. So who needs it? Right? So then go explain it to him. He doesn't realize he's a lonely person who's just trying to distract himself his whole life. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know what he's missing. Logically explain it to him. You can't. It's something that if you live with somebody and you care for somebody and you give to somebody and you keep sharing those relationships, you feel this closeness with somebody, and that is a tremendous pleasure that cannot be explained. That's a sod. You're going to say it doesn't exist? Well, if you can't prove it to me, it doesn't exist. Make me feel it now. Right? Go, a doctor tries to explain to someone to stop eating so much and to lose weight. You're going to get a heart attack. Well, they don't know what it feels like. But believe me, the statistic, and so logically, statistics show if you're overweight and you don't exercise and your blood levels are such and such, you're a prime candidate for heart attack. So what's that? Well, it's not going to feel good. What's it feel like? And you can't explain it. Can't explain to a healthy person what it means that you don't have your kayach. Can't explain the feeling, whatever, of the tightness in the chest and the face, all those feelings. Can't feel it. So that's why people ignore it most of the time. They don't understand. They don't get the sod. So now let's get back to suffering here. Kesha Kadosh Baruch Hu writes, "Lehitiv l'nivrov." So Hashem wants to bestow good to His creatures. Hasug shel hatava, this whole concept of good, see, that definition of good, hamahu shel hatava, the essence of bestowing good, hu bebechina sod, that's all part of this secret. Yesh bechina shel sod Hashem lireyov, King David calls it, the secrets of Hashem are to those who fear Him. Those who are close to Him, they understand this secret. Avolim eitzal yirei Hashem kishu megala lahem sod kayim adein omek shigam lahem hu ein yodeh. But even the God-fearing ones, who some of the sod has been revealed, the truth is the greatest depths of the sod, nobody knows. In other words, even David HaMelech, who understood Tamru, taste it and you'll see, and Hashem is good. And he tasted it and it was good for him. But he himself didn't know how good it was. The true depths of good, even David HaMelech doesn't know. Nobody knows. Even when you get to Gan Eden, you don't know how good it is for you. That good that Hashem is giving you, this eternal closest to Hashem, we have no idea how much we're benefiting from all this. Nimtzin Kain, it comes out of this. The actions of Hashem that are good, and they're with such a depth of goodness. When a person comes to judge the actions that Hashem does, even if you're judging something that appears to us to be good, or appears to us to be the opposite of good, we don't have the utensil and the instrument that can measure the value of an activity. Kishem Sheba Mashalm Shavaru, like in the analogies that we brought. Shavlo Kech as Okodomikom Ibno. The father takes the detergent away from the kid. Osharav writes a lishrachiris avdor. The master wants to free his servant. Ain la avala rav ev sharis lahasris amodasam leben levit. The father or the master doesn't have the capability of explaining their position to the son or to the servant. Ki harav masig mazikiris Hashem, because the master, he understands what closest Hashem is. Hav mevin es hasakana tmuna b'shtias okanameka. The father understands the danger that lies in drinking the detergent. Vila evid vatinok misakshim b'chol koichem, but the servant and the child are stubborn. Misakshim, they're stubborn with all their might. This one to drink his detergent, and this one to become a servant. They have no way of being able to understand what these benefits are. And this is good things.
Rabbi,
yes, sir.
So at that point, do you not try to... I know you can't. You just explained to me that it's impossible to explain it. You cannot explain it. But what do you mean? You see that danger, right after you see, you know, something bad about to happen. How do you handle that situation where...
You take the detergent away. What do you mean?
It's not a... So not detergent.
When a person is dying?
No, you see kids making decisions that you know are going to be detrimental. There's not a thing you can really do. And no matter how much you explain it,
if you see children, okay, that's a whole different issue. You see adults making decisions that are detrimental for themselves.
Well, that I say to myself, they have to learn that decision.
Okay, it's the same thing with kids. Same thing with kids. That's one of the Yud Gimel Midos in which Hashem operates. One Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, 13 attributes of mercy. One of them is, even when Hashem sees we're doing an Avera, He's the one who gives us the energy to do the Avera, doesn't He? The person's going to eat treif. He only can eat treif if Hashem allows His hand to put the treif in His food. And Hashem does. In other words, you have to allow a person to make free will choice. You have to allow them to make their mistakes. You have to, you try to stop them, you try to guide them. When they're very little, you can stop them from doing things that are wrong. You know, my kids, this morning, they're not necessarily in the mood at 6:20 to get up and get ready for school. So my wife has to force them, that's all. You don't have a choice. You're still not a big boy, and we're going to force you to get up. And they get used to it. Hopefully they'll get used to it, and they just do it. But if they don't, There's nothing you can do. It's one of the most painful things for a parent is to watch a child hurt himself. And you can't stop them.
You can explain it to them.
You can explain it to them.
No, but
they just can't hear it. You know, you have these guys. These guys, these single guys, you know, they're getting desperate. Single women, they're getting desperate. They want to get married, and their logic isn't necessarily operating in any other area that they can work with common sense. But in this area, they can't work with common sense. And this person finds this guy, I'm going to get married to him. And everybody says, "What are you doing? Are you crazy? This guy's not for you. This whole situation is going." He says, "No. We love each other." Because this isn't good, you know, we've heard about this guy. No, he's changed, he's better, he's this, he's that. It's like, no, with me, he's wonderful. And people know the truth. And then the more you interfere, the more these people you're trying to help will hate you. What do you mean? This is my true love. True love. It's true infatuation. You don't even know what true love is. You haven't had love your whole life. There's the first person who's willing to talk to you and willing to use you, and you can't even see it. No. And you're saying, well, I'm telling you, I wouldn't tell you something. And then they get angry at you and say, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You make me feel bad. Get out of my life. Then they make the mistake. You know, they get married, whatever, and they find out a month later, well, it was a mistake. And now they're even more angry at you because you were right. What are they going to tell you now? You were right? Nobody will say somebody else was right. Whoa. The guy can't take that. So now they got to, you know, so then they leave. They write you off. You're not a friend anymore. Okay, so these are people who don't grow up. It's unfortunate. You know, people have to, a smart person will take advice. A smart person will take advice. And people think they're so clever. They're so clever. And they don't realize how foolish they are. It's like, and you feel bad. And people on the side feel bad. Really feel bad. So okay. So what do we learn from that? We're just as foolish in our own personal avodas Hashem. You know, we should be doing certain things and we don't do certain things, and we know it's wrong, but we have all kinds of excuses. And so that's the situation. So not much more you could do. Okay, where am I now? Was in the middle of the paragraph? No, where am I? From the bottom paragraph. Yeah. Hamusag shalatova be'emes. What's the real concept of Hashem bestowing goodness? Real. He atova shalakus. It's a bestowal of goodness, of godliness. It's a godly bestowal of goodness. Lo shal nivroim. Not a goodness that created people are able to give. Certainly human beings have a certain level of understanding of what bestowing good is. But the depths of the essence of the goodness that Hashem does want to bestow on every individual. Nobody, not even Moshe, is able to really understand it. Moshe Rabbeinu, next page. Heisigas inyan ha'enish shel nivrom. He understood the concept of the punishments of created people. Avol hatova hi hatova ein sofis. This is the difference between apparent evil and good. But good is an infinite. Ve'nish yuchel lahasig ein sof muvad ha'ein sof. Nobody can comprehend the infinite good except the infinite being. Hello, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bechvod Atzmus, Hashem himself. Hashem is good. What he does is good. What he bestows is good. Hashem is infinite. His good is infinite. It's beyond comprehension. The sufferings that we have to have, right, the sufferings that we have to have is not directly from God. It's a very complicated concept, and Lutzado explains it. It's not that Hashem does these bad things. He creates systems in which the systems are built in to have a natural consequence. If the good doesn't come, then in the absence of the good, things that happen to us that appear to be painful come into this world. But those aren't eternal. Those aren't forever. So that's what Moshe Kachap. Moshe Kachap, what it means getting a certain punishment. What do we mean, Gehenim? He could understand that because it's limited. The evil, the quote-unquote evil, more better defined as the absence of good, is more defined. While the good is so infinite, it's coming from the infinite being, there's no way we can ever understand what that is. No way we could ever understand what that is. So again, going back to what Shelley, what you talked about, what we talked about yesterday, Mavirnis Roa Hagzera. The Gzera is, if you continue to act foolishly, then I'll have to take away things from you to save you from yourself. And that's going to be the Gzera. That's the Gzera. Now, Tefillah, Tshuva, and Staka can change your approach to things. And you can grow up a little bit, and you can stop hurting yourself. So I don't need to take away things from you for your own good. And if you did a proper teshuvah, then we don't need to do this. We don't need to do this. I don't need to, and certain things are very harmful for us. You know, Hashem, let's say a person, he's getting into this wealth business, it's destroying his Yiddishkeit. He doesn't even realize. See, we don't understand the value of davening in a minyan. We don't understand it. We just don't get it. A lot of people think, what's the difference? I'll pray at home. We don't get the infinite returns every time you come to minyan and daven. Which Rebbe said, if we knew the value of every mitzvah, if we knew the real value, we'd be running to do mitzvahs. If we just understood what that value was. So we don't. So we say, work is important. We're not saying it isn't, but it isn't more important than davening in a minyan. It isn't more important than learning Torah sometime during the day. Okay, so a person says, what are you talking about? So a person starts doing good in business, and he's making good money, and he can't stop himself. You know, you could stop working in the middle of the day. You have enough money. No. You know how much we're making? So now, what's happening? What's happening to this observant Jew? He's spending less and less time being close to Hashem, more and more time, you know, making money and getting sunk into that whole world of money. Now let's figure, what's good for him and what's not good for him? Is leaving the house at 6 o'clock in the morning? I know I'm giving an extreme case. I'm just trying to make the point. And coming home at 9 o'clock at night, but he's making $3-4 million a year, and he's going to think, he thinks Hashem's blessing him, right? But ready to learn the Chovos HaLevavos. If it's taking you away, what about minyan? I ain't got time. I do a quick mincha for 3 minutes in the middle. You know how it is when you daven mincha by yourself and you're in a rush. You know, Asher Yeshev Yisecha, V'nachem Rechiyam Etav L'mal Yah. Quick, a minute Shmon Esrei, done. And he did it, right? And Shabbos is no Shabbos. Look what you're giving away. It's Nitzchias every minute. Hashem says, I love him too much. I love him too much. You know, I want to give him a little bit of good. I want to give him a little. He was complaining to me last year. You know, he mamish can't make ends meet. He can't pay school tuitions. He can't do anything. He's always mensch. So I figured, okay, you know, I'll give him a little bit. I'll give him a break. But he took, I gave him a hand. He took a whole arm. He used to go to minyan. He used to do this. He used to do that. He ain't doing it anymore. So I'm not making a gzera. The gzera is, I'm going to wipe him out. I'm going to wipe him out. And he's going to learn. He's going to learn what was really important. He's going to see all the work he made. I'm going to wipe him out. All the years he worked hard. I'm going to have one of his brokers invest in things that don't exist. And he'll find out he's got no money. And that'll teach him the lesson. Because he needs to learn this lesson. He's going to go on for the next 30 years, wasting his life. So I'm making a gzera. Now, let's look at that gzera, Shelley. If Hashem wipes him out, that's the best thing for him. This particular case. Anyone else got, when he gets wiped out, he's going to come back to minyan. He's going to come back to minyan. He's going to come back to being a little more of a humble guy. You understand? That guy ain't going to see it that way. He ain't going to see it that way. He's going to say, what are you talking about? And now he's already used to living a fancy lifestyle. What do you mean? You mean I'm not going to have somebody drive me to work? I won't have a chauffeur? We're not going to have a cook? I'm not able to get roses from Belgium fresh every day. These are things I must have to live with. Hashem says, you're going to learn, you can live without it. So that's a roah hagzera, the roah hagzera. So tefillah, tshuva, tzedakah, you know what, if maybe if you change on your own a little bit, I won't have to make it, I won't have to do it. Right, that's the roah hagzera that the guy can't understand. The guy feels it as a terrible thing, my life is over. But the truth is, it's the best thing for you. He's going to explain this more in the next chapter. So that we have no way of understanding. When the guy already is feeling that making money is the good, that is the good. Being close to Hashem is not the good. And if Hashem is trying to get you close to him, then the guy's not going to appreciate it. And all day long, he's going to start complaining. Why is this happening? So that good is so ein sofis. That good that Hashem's going to give you every day you come to shul, every day you come to minyan, every day you don't say lashon hara, every day you keep kosher, mamish, every time you bring Shabbos in on time. It's unbelievable, but we have no idea what that is. And nobody can explain to you the ultimate great value of that. So we don't get it. And therefore what Hashem does to ensure that we get it, we don't appreciate. If Hashem has to take away the poison from us, and that poison looks so tasty. You know, our livelihood, our parnasa is so geschmack, but it's poisoning you. And Hashem says, I gotta take the poison away from you. I was hoping you'd know, you know, how much to use it to not make it being poisonous. But you don't know how to, you can't control yourself. I gotta take it away from you. You know, it's just, you know, you buy, it's Hanukkah time, right? You buy your kid a gift. Okay. I'm not a big fan of buying gifts, but okay, you buy a gift. So let's say you buy him a chleis, one of these, I think the new thing now is, I don't even know what it is, I can't understand it. It's a Wii. I don't know, it's something you cook up to the, it's video type thing, I don't know what it is, it's like interactive, it's called a Wii. I wouldn't even get to know how to spell it even. But that's what they all want. You know, so you buy it for your kid. So now what happens? The guy becomes addicted to it. Like, you know, or like these handheld games, like the mom, the whole day long, the kids are just, that's all you see them doing the whole day. You know, watching the machine. The kid can play these hand games for 10 hours. Mamish. They won't do homework. They won't talk to people. They won't interact. They won't socialize. You get sucked into this little box. So now a parent looks at this gift. He says, okay, I bought the gift. I want you a little, you know, you work hard in school. I want to give you a few minutes. Take a break. A few minutes, take a break. You know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. To enjoy yourself a little bit. And I want to give you that. Not a kid, he's addicted to it. He brings it to school, he hides it under his book, he's failing his studies. Okay, now what's a good parent gonna do? What's a good parent gonna do? Take it away. What? You hate me! It's the only thing I love doing! But you know what? You gotta get good grades in school! Cause at the end of the day, that's how you're gonna make your parnassus, and then how you're gonna know how to learn Gemara. What do you mean? I love it. You have to take it away. Uy, a schlechte Tata. Such a bad father. You took the game away. I have no fun in life. Life is not worth living. Kid comes home. I want to watch TV. Parent says, no, you can't. Why? It's bad for you. And then you know what? He tuts a chaneitza. He gets his building blocks. He starts playing things. That's a lot better for him. So we're little children. We're playing with our Wii's. And Hashem wants to take them away from us. And we can't believe that could ever be a good thing for us.